Today is Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the church year. We begin our new church year next Sunday with Advent. We are also celebrating Consecration Sunday. These are not necessarily, they don't seem like these two ideas would necessarily go together, especially when you read these texts. When you read about the crucifixion of Jesus in Luke, the 23rd chapter. This is a hard idea to reconcile with this idea of king. In some ways, it's almost ironic. What kind of king dies for their subjects? What kind of king willingly gives up power? What kind of king does this sort of thing? We find out the kind of king we have if we look a little bit closer at some of the gospel or some of the readings for today. In the Psalms, we hear about the desolations the Lord has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Desolation is another way of saying destruction. This king has come in and kind of shattered the way things are for us. He's upset the status quo. The reality is that we like to kind of have wars, apparently, as humans. We like to do things that cause conflict. We like to kind of live in this sort of turmoil. But when God shows up, things are no longer in such turmoil. Things change. I don't know if you were reading the words from our opening hymn today, in What a Friend We Have from with Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. This is what happens to us when this king shows up. This king who dies for you, who gives up everything for you. We suddenly have peace where we didn't expect it. We no longer have these heavy burdens that we've been carrying. Instead, life is now different. The kingship of God is about love and grace, self-sacrifice, self-giving. This king, as we hear in Colossians, has rescued us from the power of darkness. Think about your own lives. What power of darkness do you live in? This king has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is our king. Yet, do we really know this king? Do we really understand? Do we understand what this means in our lives? How do we understand God at work with us? How do we understand this king? One of the things that we may use to understand how God is at work in our lives and what God actually, or how to understand who God actually is to listen for the questions that God is asking. This, by the way, is one of those little interpersonal relationship tricks you can use. If you've ever sat down for coffee or lunch with someone, listen for the first question they ask you. Have you guys ever done this? Because the first question they ask you is what? The question they want you to ask them. It's what they're most concerned about, right? So if they sit down and say, oh yeah, how's work going for you? They want you to ask them about their work, oftentimes. Not every time, but oftentimes. We can use that trick with God too. What is God asking you to do? Because that will tell you what is on God's mind. Do we have a God who is asking us, okay, who have you dominated lately? Who have you stolen from? How have you been winning in your life? Or do we have a God who says, how can you give of yourself for others? How can you see in your own life's abundance, space, extra money, extra time for people who are in need? How can you reach out to someone who is hurting and just talk to them and be with them without bringing your own agenda? This is the kind of God we have. God's callings, God's asks of us tell us the kind of God that we have. We have a God who is poured out on the cross for you
so that you may have the promise of eternal life, so that you can live without burdens, so that you can have peace in your life.
We have a king who will even come into our tombs and pull us out one day, who will resurrect us. This is the kind of king we have. And in all of these callings and vocation that we hear from our God, there is power. I know that these all sound like giving up of power, but it's
very powerful.
Society tells us that power is found in titles, it's found in money, it's found in positions, it's found in materials,
it's found in having,
right? In telling and ordering and commanding. But power is also found in giving up, in not needing, in providing for others,
and in serving others.
God's power is grace
and life and abundance and forgiveness and presence poured out for you now and forever.
When you come to church on a Sunday morning, you've given up a lot, by the way.
I was going through, we had
40-ish, 50-ish young men from NDSU here with us this morning. It was quite a spectacle because most of them were wearing suits and ties. And they all sat like right there. It was pretty impressive.
They belong to a fraternity, and apparently part of that fraternity's pattern is to visit a church about once a semester.
And so I, of course, gave them a little grief that they were giving up nice, warm, comfy beds
to be at the 8:30 service, right? How cool is that? And you've given up,
too, to be here. You've given up a great
sunny day. I can just barely see it out here.
With mild temperatures, I mean, you could be doing things, right? You could be sleeping in. You could be going to the coffee shop. You could be shopping. I mean, you guys can shop before noon in Fargo now. And yet here you are, because God has called you to be here. God has invited you. Or maybe Jordan and Nate invited you. But you've been invited to be here. And you said, sure, I will do that. I will give up
my Sunday morning for you.
And when you show up here, you are also asked to give up money. Most of us who come to church, when we are friends and family of St. John, we are invested literally in this church. We have said, yes, I will use my pocketbook, my wallet, to support this church and its ministry. We give up even more than just our time. And as you have seen, we have quite a few talented musicians as part of this church. People who have given us their talents this morning.
So that we can experience not just a wonderful organ, but an organ with a choir and a bell choir and horns as well.
God is asking you to give of yourself.
Now, I can't tell you what that is. I can't tell you how you do that. That is for you to discern. But hopefully you start to listen for that calling.
And in doing so, I believe you'll start to understand better how God is at work in your life. You will begin to see grace upon grace that has been poured out for you. And I think when you begin to see that, you will be able to bring that grace to others. And you will create moments
of grace in others' lives.
Moments of grace
that add up to more than just a moment,
that build into a story
filled with God's love,
God's abundance. And then out of that abundance, we give back and we join this narrative, this
story of God's work in the world, making a difference for other people.
The beauty of these grace-filled moments is that we get to bring little moments of resurrection to people. Think about that person who's suffering, who just needs a friendly face. And when you take the time to sit down with them and talk to them, you bring a little resurrection to them, a little life. You pull them out of that dark tomb that they've been living in, and you help them to see light and life and know that everything will be okay. God loves stories of resurrection. God loves that when we are out in the world doing things that bring life, that bring grace. This is what God is calling us to do today. To bring resurrection, to bring grace
into people's lives,
to help people know that God is for them, that God will do anything, even death on a cross, for them. And so we can celebrate Christ the King Sunday, a king who dies for you, who bursts into your tomb for you, who will remember you and bring you Easter one day, and a God who calls us to give of ourselves, to find ways to give, to look for opportunities to give, to see how much we have been given, to know that God's abundance is with us always. The beauty of that is we get to see that this morning with Agnes.
We get to see God's richness poured out upon her
through the waters of baptism, just as we have all received God's richness and grace and abundance
in our own baptisms.
And every day when you wake up, I want you to know that God is with you,
pouring out this grace, this abundance, this richness into your lives, that no matter what,
whether it is
sorrow or joy you are experiencing, God is there.
God loves you forever, will be your king always,
and will give you grace eternally.
Amen.